man's curve. That's our theme here a little bit today. Jim is here, Carol G and Fortier here, and we do our little chit-chat once a month about things going on in the 50s, 60s, in Racine, not only in Racine, but everywhere, but in Racine. Dead Man's Curve is our show today, and what are we talking about, guys?
Well, actually, we're talking about part four of things we did back in the 50s and 60s, which were considered relatively safe back then, but maybe not now. And this is our final segment on this, so we're not going to do it on part five or whatever.
The new fall season starts in September.
That's right. That's right.
Well, we covered a lot, though. We covered a lot of these dangers and found out that we had a lot of innocent days where, goodness sakes, we were out there tanning on Lake Michigan beaches, not realizing what those UV light rays were doing for us. Our playgrounds. Jim, I guess you were a master of the teeter-totter where you would just jump off and leave the other person just, falling into the dirt.
That was fun.
Things like that. But dangers that we survived.
You used to get up, hold down with your hand and say, get ready, and let go. And they went crashing to their, lost a tooth, scraped their arm,
and
went home
crying.
We
were little darlings. Yeah. We were not entirely innocent, in other words. But now today, we're doing, as we were in later grade school, and continuing on, Jim.
Yep. You know, we did so much alone as kids back then. I remember going to a friend's house just by yourself. You would just yell out to mom, hey, I'm going to Tony's house. And then you'd either walk or take your bike over there, get to the door. Instead of ringing the bell or whatever, you would just simply yell, oh, Tony. And, and he would do the same to me, of course. And, we were pretty innocent as upper grade school kids back then. But see, back then, our parents pretty much assumed that our neighbors were the Cleavers, from the Leave It to Beaver. They were just all American families. And there was no such thing as, neighbors you don't want to really meet anymore. So
we accepted those invitations.
Yep.
For hours, you could be over at someone's house.
That's exactly
complete
right.
Trust.
My next door neighbor was Billy Richard. He was 2 years younger than me.
Uh-huh.
And he was being punished one day, and he had to go to his bedroom, which was on the second floor of his house. And we're downstairs yelling, hey, Billy. And he comes to the window. He says, oh, right out. I said, you thought you can't come out? He lowered himself, hung by the window, and dropped himself two stories. And we go, oh! And we went to catch him, and we all fell. He landed on us.
Oh, my goodness.
What are you, insane?
When we called for people, we really called for them.
Guy's a nut. He lives in Florida now. I think he's still a little touched.
Is he still in his wheelchair?
He fell on us, and his grandmother comes running in. Get back in your bedroom. Not how are you? No, how did you get out? How did you get back in your bedroom?
Yeah. Jeez.
Oh.
Yeah, we were pretty innocent back then, weren't we, Carol?
Well, but it's amazing to us that we could be gone, Jim, like all day long alone. We're talking about doing things alone.
Yes.
Without our parents helicoptering around us. And so, of course, that comes to mind. We walked and we biked all over our neighborhoods and even at a maybe 8 years old, 9 years old, all around town. Their mothers must have loved it because they ended up free for the day.
Oh, yeah.
Just maybe having lunch for us. We probably showed up at lunch. We did show up at dinner. But things that we did, of course, one of our destinations were our neighborhood playgrounds. I mean, we could go there and stay all morning, all afternoon, making those lanyards and games with the park leader and all that. But we also had places like the neighborhood grocery store. Oh, geez, if we had some pennies in our pockets, right to the neighborhood store. Bikes would be outside, kids gathering for bubble gum.
And did you ever think someday pennies would be worthless and you couldn't use them anymore?
You think penny candy. Truly gone.
And you can't even buy it. They round it up now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I went to Walgreens and I had some pennies. And they said, well, you don't take pennies. I said, what?
Yeah, but Carol said.
Yeah.
Oh. And I was asking my husband once, he was talking about biking down the McKinley School Hill. Even probably 10, 11 years old or something.
It's suicide.
And I said, what were you doing over there? Because he was living over by Regency Mall. And he said, well, I was riding over to my grandma's at the zoo. So all across town, no questions asked.
Wow. If my mother ever knew what I was riding in that or that bicycle, riding down these dirt hills in the back, we called it the pit. Yeah. It was a giant, and we went down. It was almost at a 45-degree angle going straight down. Your bike would slip, and you'd be rolling down. If my mother had an inkling to what I was doing, she'd take away that bike.
Oh, we never told him anything, Don, what we were really doing.
Why is your shoulder out of whack? No, I dislocated it.
So we were saying, how does this fit into dangers? Because a lot of these things were just good fun for us, would be considered dangerous today. But I do have to say, now, being all that time on our own, we had alleys behind Carlisle Avenue where I lived, and you could walk down those alleys and you could spot a nice pear tree. And those boys would hop over picket fences and steal those pears, you know. I mean, so there were plenty of shenanigans going on, too, where we were, you know, probably just a few close calls. But, Jim, I think in our discussions about this, you were by the railroad tracks?
Oh, yeah. We'd ride our bikes downtown just west of the Main Street Bridge. It used to be an old railroad yard there. And we'd just go down there and watch the trains go by and shuffle around. And it was just something to do. But the point is, we were pretty much gone all day on our bikes or walking someplace, you know. We maybe sometimes come home for lunch if we got hungry. But other than that, we were pretty much gone all day. Another thing we used to...
By the way, you didn't put pennies on the tracks, did you?
Of course we did. Yeah, but not the North Shore, because that whizzed by at 90 miles an hour. You never got your money back.
Oh, yeah.
And then slow-moving freights,
you did. I remember
you
used to put a penny on there, and then when the train went by, they used to get this flattened penny.
Yeah, sure.
You know, forget the train just derailed and 65 people were killed. I got the
finger,
penny.
Yeah. Finger.
Nickel was better, though, Don. Yeah. But a lot of times we would take the bus
now,
downtown.
Where were the railroad tracks that you are talking about?
Oh, near DeKalvin, you know, the Northwestern, the old Northwestern. But again, we wouldn't do it on the North Shore line because that was a passenger commuter that went almost 90 miles an hour. And
Jim is here, Carol G and Forte are here. We're talking about, once again, the dangers, more dangers we had in the 50s and 60s growing up in Racine that we didn't know about. So we found out Jim used to play chicken on the railroad tracks or something like that. And Carol used to swipe pears from a tree or something like that. Well, let's continue, guys.
Another thing we did as kids was taking the bus downtown alone. I remember I was probably 7 or 8 years old. I'd put 7 cents in the... you know, the thing there, and away we go. We'd go downtown, hit the dime stores, or maybe meet friends that go to the Venetian or Rialto Theater. For me, I'd spend the whole day downtown. And it was perfect for me because the bus stop was just almost in front of our house, just one house away. And all I had to remember was that I lived on the Green Line. And there were 6 different colors, of course, 6 different lines. Remember them, Carol? Red, orange, white, yellow, blue, and green. So
could you have a claim to fame that you rode every color eventually?
Probably not.
I never asked you that.
Yeah.
I only rode the red and the green in my life.
Okay. All right.
I didn't make it to all the colors. But then what would you do downtown all day long?
Well, like I said, dime stores or just hang out with friends. And we were only probably 8 years old. See a movie at the Venetian. A lot of times, and I was talking to my friend Sheila Dermody Gamble on this, but she would take the bus downtown for religious education at St. Rose or go to the YWCA. Oh, yeah. I'd do that too for the YMCA, take the bus down there and have fun.
Yes.
Turns out we had the same orthodontist, Dr. Buckley. We'd take the bus.
Oh, I remember that name.
Yeah, we just take the bus and head out to his office and then come right back, but... all that, we were just doing it alone. And, you know.
Let me see your teeth. Let's see what a good job you did.
It didn't work. Yeah. I don't have any.
It didn't work.
It taught us responsibility.
Okay.
What we're saying here again is we had this wonderful independence that I think when we're talking with people, they'll say, oh, we just could go all over Racine. Today, no. So that's where the danger comes in.
Yep.
That we had minor worries back then about danger.
But now
today, that has been lost.
I think so.
Yeah.
And then
riding the bus. I had the red line.
Yep.
Just walked down to Carlisle and Elbert. Mm-hmm. And if you missed it, and once in a while, you know, you decide to go downtown at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd miss the bus.
Yep.
There was a schedule.
Yeah, every half hour, I think.
You know what the biggest danger today is? Other teenagers with guns.
Yeah, a little difference.
Yeah. That's the biggest. Every day you turn on the news, somebody else threatened somebody or shot somebody.
Yeah.
And it's always a teenager with a gun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember going to the beach alone?
Well, and that was another one where that ties into with being gone all day.
Yeah.
I would walk from Carlisle all the way down High Street in junior high, gathering with friends. We had our transistor radios, listening. But all just the freedom. When we were younger, too, I think, am I exaggerating? But parents just were, what would you say, more trusting, more laid back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we could kind of roam the sand. Mm-hmm. Now, today, the fears of somebody being kidnapped or whatever haunt us. But we could roam that huge beach.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
And then we also went, with thinking of water, we went to Washington Park Pool.
Yep, yep.
We had that for
alone.
A destination.
Yeah, and then jumping off that
island
onto other people below.
Yes.
Jumping off that diving platform.
Yeah.
And where you had everybody below and they're, look out.
Now we call them missiles. Yeah. So that was another great destination for all day long.
Yeah, and we took the bus there, too, or rode our bikes and just left them outside.
When we talked more about that, even walking there, Marcia Connett, who's talked with us on panels, she would walk from the north side to Washington Park Pool.
Mm-hmm. Another thing we used to do was play games in the street. We'll get to that.
Yeah. Oh, tell us about games in the street.
Well, all right, well. We played football and baseball, in the street. And when a car would come, one of the boys would say, car.
Yeah, that's right.
And then everybody would walk to the curb.
That's right. Screaming. There was always one lookout. Car.
Yeah. And let the car go by. And then, of course, we'd continue again.
Did you ever do that thing where you pretended to hold a rope?
No.
Remember that? There were one guy on each side of the street. You pretend to hold a rope when the car was coming by and they'd slow down. And you didn't have anything. You just stood there pretending you were holding a rope and they'd slow down and they'd look.
Or they'd stop.
Just walk away.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
yeah,
I think you told us recently, Don, that your dad painted.
That's right. He painted bases on the street.
On the street.
He took out his can of white paint and he painted bases all over the street.
Yeah.
And he made home plate in the wrong direction, but he made it for a reason so my brother can do play on the other side, do pitching practice. So he did it. He painted with canopy, just painted on the street.
Get arrested nowadays.
But it was great because we played every game with those bases.
Yeah.
What a guy. I'm thinking about alleys, but were you going to say something more about streets?
Well, we'd stay out till the street lights came on, and then we went home. But we never used helmets back then, and we played to win, But with today's crazy drivers, I don't think that'd be a good idea now. You just never know who's going to be barreling down the street.
Hmm. I think there was something real important to us on Carlisle and other streets. We had alleys.
Yeah.
And it was like its own world. Now, Carlisle was like a half a mile long, that boulevard. So we pretty much were confined to our own one block of the alley. But talk about being out there playing hopscotch, kickball, jumping rope in the alley. And bikes, it was great whizzing by on bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, another thing for us were, we would talk about, they live across the alley. We live across the alley from each other. That was a phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And so across the alley from my house were houses that were much newer. We were in old homes, and these homes were built right after the war. No garages, no fences. So for a whole block, practically, there were open grassy yards.
Did you double dare kids to do things?
That's our next topic. Well, we're coming to that real soon.
You must be clairvoyant.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that.
Are you clairvoyant?
Well, I had a little something here, and this is something we're going to lead into on the next topic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah! Well, I double dog dare you!
Now it was serious. A double dog dare. What else was left but a triple dare you? And finally, the coup de grace of all dares, the sinister triple dog dare.
I triple dog dare you.
Schwartz created a slight breach of etiquette by skipping the triple dare and going right for the throat.
You're helping us along with our script, John. Thank you so much.
Is that what we'd expect from you? The double dare.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think I ever dared anybody in my life to do anything.
Oh, well, a double dare was much worse than a common dare, as you know. Usually it was something to do with being a dangerous situation, like something unsafe, like crossing a railroad bridge or railroad tracks or lighting a firecracker, you know, in your hand. Usually when somebody bragged about doing something out of the ordinary, you would say, oh, yeah, well, I double dare you to do that. But, yeah, double dare, was a very common phrase.
You guys didn't use the double dog dare?
No, I never heard of that one.
They hadn't reached us.
And the triple dog dare.
Yeah, that's as high as you can get, huh?
Well, you were a little terror growing up, huh?
Oh, we all were.
Not me.
No, not you.
I was a good kid.
But, no, I think you said dares usually came in, did you say, when someone was a bragger?
Yeah, when somebody was bragging, you know.
You cut excessively. Them right down to size.
Yeah, I double dare you to do
cut
that.
Cut them to size.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you guys had your whole hierarchy in the streets.
That's right.
In the streets. Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't look at you today. I didn't think you'd be such a, you know, bully in the streets, daring people to do stuff.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I double dog dare you.
Now it was serious. A double dog dare. What else was left but a triple dare you? And finally, the coup de grace of all dares, the sinister triple dog dare.
I triple dog dare you!
Schwartz created a slight breach of etiquette by skipping the triple dare and going right for the throat.
That was you. That was Jim Messier.
I triple dog dare you!
That was you. You still do that to your wife and stuff? I double dog dare you. What did she do? What did she do it to you?
Yeah.
I triple dog dare you.
Oh,
anyway, they don't use that. They don't do that anymore, do they?
No, I don't think so.
Arguments just end with a punch in the nose, and that's it.
I don't know.
Never got into a fight in my life. One time, but I never got into a fight in my life. I just, some guy challenged me, and it was over in 2 seconds when I pushed him. But I never got into a fight in my entire life. You must have been
lucky.
Right?
Yeah,
you did fist fight.
I don't know. Huh? I might have, but maybe over a girl or something. I don't remember. But
I can tell you, I never did.
Yeah,
you really? We had a girl in our junior high, Teresa Whalen, and she was like a wild card. She was always challenging girls to fights. If you looked at her wrong, I'm going to catch you after school.
Yes,
everybody went on this neighbor's lawn across from the street. Because see, they weren't home; they were working, so they didn't know. And she immediately tore the girl's shirt off. That's the first thing she went for. She grabbed the shirt and tore it off. Now she had the advantage because the girl is now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then she started
punching
and just wailing on her. Oof.
Mm. Yeah, I had a stage.
Girls fought dirty. It was,
at Lincoln School in sixth grade and still walking home for lunch. A new girl in our class, she would say to me, I'm going to beat you up. And I'm very scared to walk home. Never happened, but she would threaten me every lunch hour.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you do to tick her off?
I just existed.
I breathed the same air in the room.
Yeah,
I used up some of the
oxygen.
Target,
apparently.
I can see that. I understand that. Yeah.
All right. So that's one of the dangers in 50s and 60s. Bullies who threaten
you.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah.
Wow. I never had that. Oh, the quick story was Mickey Strange, he was angry at me for something. I don't know what it was. And he said, after school, we're going to meet you right by the chain fence by the basketball court. Mm-hmm. Everybody gathered there, and I stepped outside. I saw him. I was twice his height. And I just ran up to him, and I pushed him into the fence. He started crying. It was all over.
Oh.
Yeah.
I want to hit him.
Uh-huh.
That was the only fight
I took
was
mercy
in
on him.
Well, he was a friend. He just was stupid. He had stupid things. And we were friends afterwards. But he had just pushed him into the thing. He couldn't catch his breath. He didn't see it coming. Mm-hmm. And
so,
then he cried.
So thinking about these dangers,
yeah,
we can laugh at some. We can say it's more dangerous today. But we did live through the beat you up area.
and the
daredevil area. We
see,
did.
Today, I'm going to beat you up. Today, I'm going to shoot you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Now
yeah.
it's more dangerous than ever.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we could take a punch.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, another thing we survived, and this is kind of a sensitive topic, discipline at home. Now, we were talking about this. Compared to today, we did not know the term a time out. We were not offered timeouts. We were offered a spanking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If we were sassy mm-hmm. or fighting with our siblings too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And hopefully no one that's listening had severe spankings. That would be off limits here.
My parents never laid a hand on my brother or I. Never in all our lives. Never touched us. But the threat was there.
My brother
and I said, that's going to snap. I don't know what we should do. Because he used to, you two want to see blood? You want to see blood? and he never laid a hand on
us.
Well,
that's really wonderful. Yeah. I had two spankings in my life.
Just two?
Just two. But I remember. It was
a way of life for me.
It was a really bad afternoon. We'd gone to the 4th of July parade. So maybe I was four. And came home, and we three, my family, we were outside on our yard doing some yard work. And I had the most beautiful balloon in the world that I had gotten on the parade route. And I let it go. And that unleashed in me the biggest tantrum that you could ever imagine. And I went into the house, and I slammed the door as hard as I could. And lo and behold, my dad gave me a spanking.
They never laid a hand on us, but the threat was there. We never knew when it was going to happen, so we stayed in line because we were afraid when it does come, it's like Mount Vesuvius has got to erupt.
Well, I had a threat that worked very well. We had a hedge of lilac bushes outside, and I think I was around three, and I must have been a sassy, sassy kid because my mother got a branch from the lilac hedge, and she hung it over the kitchen sink so I could view it morning, noon, and night.
If you're going to act up, just take a look.
That was the threat, which never had to be used, but that was my threat. Did you have your parents threaten you, Jim?
No, they just acted.
No threats. They just
took matters into their own hands.
My mom would say, just wait till your father comes home. Yeah. And I thought, well, good, because my dad was not the disciplinarian. He would just say, you guys got to do better. You know, that was it. He never spanked us at all.
I heard that all the time. When your father gets home.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if he was going to do anything, depending on the day he had. He never did anything.
Another thing we used to do that was dangerous back then, and it still is now, although you can't do it anymore, was diving off the cliffs by the quarry. That's pretty much off limits now. I mean, a lot of kids would jump feet first. A few dived, off there head first, and you always ran the risk of being paralyzed because you could hit some submerged rocks there. But it was very, very common practice for kids to do that.
How did they stop you from doing it today? Fencing?
The fences. There's signs all over the place.
Oh, the signs.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
All the signs.
Warning
signs. They stop everything.
Yeah,
the signs.
You know, you will be shot if you get caught here. Whatever. But
why would you jump off knowing it was that dangerous? Why would you do it?
It didn't look dangerous back then.
But you knew it was dangerous.
Well, the possibility existed that it might be dangerous. But as kids, you had all this, you had no fear. And everybody else was doing it, so you just followed along.
Maybe that went into the dares, too. I'll dare you to jump off the...
That's right. I doubled the water.
I'll tell you, I grew up in New York, and I didn't have half the dangers you had here in the Midwest.
This was dangerous. This was... Yeah, you can obviously see this.
I had nothing
compared to this. It's amazing we survived. I mean, let's give ourselves a lot of credit here.
Wow. That's right. Yeah.
Well, then diving, too, we already mentioned, but on a much lower level at the Washington Park pool. I mean,
you took your life in your hands.
Yeah. No, your life was if you were in the pool and somebody was diving above you.
Yeah.
And, I saw the videos of this stuff.
Yeah.
And people just jump in, even though there was a crowd of people below and look out.
Yeah, that's right. Here I come.
And I can't believe the pool let them do it. They didn't like rope off a section where the swimmers can be and couldn't be.
No.
They just let people jump off.
Yeah. And you get some heavyset guy jumping on you and you'd have to go home.
Amazing we survived.
What else did we do?
Well, now we have to say how we acted as teens, and we could spend another four sessions on that, but we're going to abbreviate.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to abbreviate now to end this series.
Yep.
But we all know as teens, the shenanigans we pulled, knowing probably that we were doing something dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it was. Now, for instance, the big area we're going to talk about is the dangers we had with the cars.
Mm-hmm.
Now we were driving, but on a moderate level, just hiding in the trunk for the outdoor. Now, we are not aware that we lost any lives due to asphyxiation or anything in the trunk.
Came close, but yeah.
But, and did you ever do that, Jim?
Oh, geez, yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. We sure did. Save a buck, you know?
Yeah, that sometimes, was important to save a dollar.
Yeah, once we had three guys in the trunk.
Uh-huh.
Three. You couldn't just have one driver because it would look suspicious if you had one guy driving.
Like, going alone.
You had to have at least two people in the car.
Now, did you ever hear that the ticket takers were suspicious if the car was lower than
suspicious?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
You guys thought of everything.
Yeah, sometimes they would follow you knowing that there's people in the trunk.
They
would just stand there. And, of course, you couldn't give the high sign to the guys hiding in the trunk because you were being watched.
They followed up.
Right. Yeah. And they had to suffer in there for who knows how long. But I'm sure a lot of us did. I did it. Everybody did it, I think.
I never did that at a drive-in movie. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one time, this was funny. We had a couple guys hiding in the trunk only to discover when we pulled in, it was buck night. The whole car got in for a dollar. So these guys in the trunk were there for nothing.
At least you feed them some air every once in a while. Wow. You know, that's so true. One person driving into a drive-in theater, that would be
slightly suspicious.
Get security, please.
Yeah.
Get security. Right. This looks very odd to us.
That's exactly right.
Very, very strange. Yep.
And then what we did after that was...
The big one, Jim.
A lot of kids did this, or I should say young adults, driving to Kenosha County when you could get a beer for when you were 18. And some of the establishments were Shakey's Pizza. The Brat Stop was very, very popular and common. Another one was Earl's, I remember, but you only had to be 18.
Because Racine County was 21?
That's exactly right, yes. And a good friend of mine who since passed away, I'll just say his first name, Nibs.
Nibs.
And he could issue you a fake ID if you wanted. And his famous line was, he'd go to a bunch of guys, you know, standing someplace. How many of you guys are 18? Of course, a few would raise their hands. Next question, how many of you want to be 18? Of course, every hand went up then. And he could issue you a fake ID for a price. I don't know if it was a dollar or whatever, but he was well known for issuing you a fake ID.
Never knew a guy to do that.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. He made a few bucks
that way. I always thought the Midwest was wholesome.
Nah.
You went to the barn dance on Saturday night. Had a good and now I find out you fake IDs. You're jumping off cliffs and you're sneaking into drive-in movie theaters.
Well, hey.
Jim and Carol are here this morning. What did you just ask Jim before the break?
Well, about Nibs making at least one very quick off the press.
Yeah, one guy had to have a fake ID for that evening, and he asked Nibs to put one together for him. Nibs said, well, I can't do it in a matter of hours. It has to dry and everything. And the guy said, well, I'll take a chance. I have to go there tonight. Nibs said, okay, but it's going to be on you. So sure enough, the guy pulls out his fake ID, hands it to the guy, and it falls apart right in front of the bouncer.
Or something. Yeah.
Did they charge for him?
What's that?
Did Nibs charge him?
Oh, of course.
That's how he went to Las Vegas in later life.
He charged, but then he probably got his money back.
Was there a guaranteed refund if it didn't work?
Yeah. I love that line.
Yeah.
Anyone here 18?
Yeah.
Or does everyone want
to
be 18?
Who wants to be 18? Yeah, that was funny.
Well, and a funny one about cars in my neighborhood was, somehow, in just later years, I learned that this teenage guy with his buddies, like at, I think really like age 14, they'll make it 15, right in our neighborhood, at night, they would go over to this guy's house and push the car out of the garage. The family went to bed early. And wouldn't they go and get their beer because somebody looked older?
Oh.
And so I thought, wow, that was really something. I knew that guy right in the neighborhood. So years go by, and I end up telling that to someone. It was his sister, and she never even knew that for a year or two, these guys had taken the family car right in the dead of night, whatever they wanted to do. Now, we also did our share of pulling things ourselves. We call them, we talked
pranks.
About pranks.
Yeah.
We talked about pranks. And I happen to know, but I have promised that I would not say any names.
I will.
I'll say names, but I don't care.
That a group of, I happen to go to Horlick, but St. Catherine's girls actually put dish detergent in our beautiful Racine reflecting pools. So I don't know what kind of damage the dish detergent did.
Were you involved in the reflecting pool in Washington, Caper? Were you involved in
that? Yeah, that's right. I think they learned here and they're out there now. They're turning things green.
Yeah.
right.
Anybody do dishes as long as they had a place to do it?
There were some restaurants right along there.
Yeah, or take a bath or something, as long as it was available.
How about you, Jim?
Well, I wasn't involved in this one, but I know some people who were. Every Halloween, they would go to the underpass on Durand Avenue there, right by the old case. And at nighttime, again, for Halloween, they would drop this dummy down when a car was approaching and then quickly yank it up. Of course, the guy thought he hit something. He got out and he was panicking, but there was nothing there. And then they tried on the next person and whatever. But they asked me to do it once. I said, oh, my gosh, no. I would
that
never.
That was beyond your limit.
Oh, geez, yeah.
There was a limit to what you would do.
There was a limit.
There was a line
even
you didn't cross.
I had limits.
Well, one last thing, because I guess time is escaping us here. Years ago when I was writing stories freelance and free of charge for the Racine Journal, when they had stories in, I loved talking to some of my Horlick High School friends. They had worked at Zayers. That was right across from Horlick, right in that big, huge shopping center. Zayers was huge. It had everything. Well, I loved talking to these girls, and we still talk about it. They talk about it because one of them said, well, actually, Horlick High School ran Zayers because everybody had a job there. And the pranks that they played at Zayers, and this is the worst one that my friends swear by. One of the guys, a Horlick student, who was in the crushing disposal area, he would entice new hires to get on this conveyor belt. That was the end result, was crushing the boxes.
My goodness.
He put them on the conveyor belt.
Good Lord.
And stopped just in time. Now, that's at another level.
Wow.
But anyway, don't put Horlick High School in charge of Zayers. Don't ever do that again.
Wow.
Well, that's about it for our 4 months of dangers, Jim.
I think so.
I think the conveyor belt was the worst one.
So we saved the best for
And Zayer never knew he was doing this kind of stuff, huh?
Horlick High School was running it.
What do you mean they were running it? Because they had
there were so many students that had jobs there. And then they continued on part-time after high school as well. There were marriages. I just ran into a woman lately. She said, you know, I married my husband because of Zayers.
He's in a wheelchair because he fell into the trash compactor.
Yeah. So it was like a pandemonium, except the store did run well. I was a customer at Zayers. You would have never guessed things that were going on, like with the conveyor belt. But they were. Oh, I know that guy. I guess he had the guys doing rating systems for the new female, their legs, because we get to wear dresses. Should I say bedlam, pandemonium?
Maybe I should have grown up in the Midwest. I had nothing. My life was dull.
Yeah, you missed all the fun here.
Man, oh,
by
man.
Off cliffs and everything like that,
Yeah, I'm thinking of that conveyor belt.
Thank God.
Imagine the lawsuits that today you'd have against Zayer for even pulling that stunt, letting it happen.
Oh.
They don't sue the person who did it. They sue the company because that's where the money is.
Yeah. That's where the money is. Right. Yeah.
Well, we were rather unsupervised.
Yeah, that's right.
We were on our own.
Yeah.
We were on our own. Now, Jim, talk about our next program.
Oh, we're coming back?
For the new fall season.
Yeah, for the new fall season. I didn't know we're invited back, but okay.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about, actually two things, Scoop and a Loop and a lot of the stores downtown that we remember as we were Scoop and a Loop.
Fanny Farmer. Mill
my
City.
Gosh. Mill City. That was a store
Three
for
Sisters.
Cheapskates. Yeah.
Moskins, we were
Moskins,
all kinds and hundreds of
Lindstrom's
hundreds of
Bakery,
stores down there.
Yeah, Cook Gear, of course, Zahn's, Penny's,
Lindstrom's.
Yeah, Lindstrom's.
And why are we doing this?
I don't know why are we doing. No, the reason we're doing this is because we're going to be giving another program at the Rondell coming up at the end of August and early September, and this will be our focal point, Scoop in the Loop, and
a tour of downtown,
mm-hmm. Right? And we have a lot of new things to. It's not the same one we did some time ago. It's, as you say, Carol, new and improved.
Yeah, more hijinks.
Yeah.
More death-defying hijinks.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Well, thank
yeah.
you guys for coming in.
It's mm-hmm.
always fun.
Thanks for having
yeah,
us.
Yeah, it's always
you.
Fun. Have a good time
mm-hmm.
with you guys.
Okay.
I can't believe that conveyor belt story.
You,
everything else is tame compared to that.
You grew up in the wrong part of the nation. That's
wow.
All.
I thought I was in New York. I thought I'm in the dangerous zone. This was the danger zone.
That's right.
Racine. All right. Thank you,
thank
guys.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Carol Gianforte, Jim Messier. Thank you guys for being in here. I do appreciate it. I had a good time.